you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Mind Body Peak Performance. I'm your host, Nick Urban, and this week I'm excited to be sharing the world of peptides with you a little more. This will be a two-part interview with a man named Jay Campbell. Jay Campbell is a 4-times international best-selling author, a men's physique champion, and founder of the Jay Campbell brand and podcast. He's recognized as one of the world's leading experts on hormonal optimization and therapeutic peptides. Jay's dedicated his life to helping teach men and women how to hashtag fully optimize their health while also instilling the importance of raising their consciousness. Two things you don't often hear going hand in hand. Jay's website, which has been around since 2006, offers some of the most deeply researched articles on the topics of hormone optimization, peptides, fat loss, fitness, and spirituality. You can find the show notes to this one at mindbodypeak.com/113. Okay, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Jay Campbell.
Jay, welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Nick, man, I appreciate you having me here. I'm definitely humbly privileged and honored to be here. As I said, I rescheduled on you one time and I couldn't do it a second time. So I'm really excited to be here and let's make this happen.
Thanks for making it happen. And by the way, for anyone who's listening in who can't see, Jay has one of the more epic backgrounds I've seen for his podcast studio. Sweet. Today, I want to talk about one of your, or a couple of your wheelhouses, and that is obviously therapeutic peptides. You wrote a book on them, which I read, and it was chock full of, it was a beginner's guide to a bunch of different peptides out there. It was really helpful. And also bioregulators, what you're working on now with your upcoming book, which I believe will be released before this podcast is, so we can explore that. And I'm going to adapt the question I usually ask to start off every interview for you, because I know you're on the cutting edge and you like to do some cool stuff. So what are the compounds that you're currently using?
So currently using actually or experimenting with, it's not a novel compound in that it's been around, but it's a novel compound for the biohacking community. And then I'm using GW0742. Which is a PPAR agonist, which some people know about in the SARMs world. So I want to be very clear that I do not advocate SARMs. This is not a SARM by any stretch of the imagination, but SARMs dealers and SARMs sellers sell this. But this is a very powerful cardiac enhancing agent. It's also a fat loss as a PPAR agonist. It's a fat loss agonist. But you take this before exercise, preferably anaerobic exercise. So before weight training, and if you're doing like intervals, but this will give you much better cardiovascular, oxidation. You will burn fat more efficiently and you'll definitely breathe a lot better. And I've been experimenting now with this for myself for about 3 weeks. And by the time this runs, it'll be, way later, but I had surgery 6 weeks ago on my left breast for gynecomastia because I have the genetic predisposition for it. I carry that polymorphism. And I started using it as soon as I healed. So I can definitely say that it's pretty profound in its ability to enhance cardiac activity, or I should say cardiometabolic activity.
Yeah. So there's a lot of terms there that we would have to define. Is that at all related? I mean, I have that article of yours, you just published it recently, up in another open tab currently. But back many years ago, probably 5 years ago or so, I was looking into and researching and experimenting with a compound that's similar to that. It's GW, I think it's 50156. It's great for endurance and had a similar thing.
They're all the same. So other people know of carterine. and they're all in the same class of agents. And look, man, like, you know, they're basically sold in liquid form, you know, by most of these research chemical companies. There is a Russian company out there now selling capsules of this I've seen recently. But yeah, they all do pretty much the same thing. And I mean, you know, they taste absolutely nasty. You know, you got to swallow them down and you kind of hold your nose or whatever. But within 30 minutes, if you start exercising after, you will definitely notice an increase in your just the easiness of you doing cardio. Like for me, because I just do, you know, mostly steady state, you know, 125 to 135, sometimes 140 beats per minute. Life cycle over here to my left. It's actually right over here to my left. I'm like in cruise control on that. Like I don't even feel the intensity of what I usually ride at, which is like 15 on the life cycle. It feels like I'm on 18, you know, because I mean, and again, you know, that's where all the research shows that it just, like I said, it really increases, you know, the body's ability to burn free fatty acids. And obviously that enhances your cardiovascular and your metabolic conditioning. So over time, you definitely will get leaner, and you know, without question, it'll enhance your ability to do cardio. You definitely will not be as like sluggish or lethargic when you're doing cardio when you're on it. It feels easy.
Back when I was experimenting with the Cardarine, I noticed that after a couple weeks, it quite literally doubled my endurance. All of a sudden, I was blown away. Like nothing else holds a candle compared to this. Is that the class that's called like? So-called exercise in a bottle?
Yeah. I mean, depending on who you talk to, yes. I mean, it's really weird because I remember when I first started looking at these, and you know me, and I'm very against SARMs, right? Like, I mean, I've seen—
Can you define people, that?
Yeah. So, I mean, so a SARM is a selective androgen receptor modulator, and that's where a lot of young guys in the world, unfortunately, are buying, you know, from hucksters online that sell SARMs. And, you know, they're mostly— you know, drugs that are supposed to, you know, let's make that very clear, enhance, you know, anabolic tissue accretion without, quote unquote, the side effects of shutting down the body's hypogonadal axis. Now, again, that's all in theory. None of it is true, because when you actually do people's lab work and you actually look at what happens to people who are using SARMs, it trashes cardiometabolic markers. It trashes LDL. It trashes hepatic function. I mean, there's so many horrible things. I mean, most doctors who are versant in these things, when they see young kids come into their office who've been using SARMs, I mean, I've had guys literally, I'm not kidding you, Nick, say to me, I send them straight to the emergency room. Like these guys' lab panels are so bad. Like they are literally 1 foot in the grave, right? So it's like, I always tell people, and you know, we could talk about this obviously too, from, you know, the first book I wrote on testosterone, therapeutic testosterone, that all things being equal, just use a therapeutic dose of testosterone. You know, you're not going to have any of the side effects. You're not going to trash, you know, all of these biomarkers that get trashed using SARMs, and you're going to get a far stronger anabolic effect than using any of these drugs. Now, you know, look, I get people, they come after me and they'll debate me and they'll say, you know, Jay, that's not true. You know, I'm a professional bodybuilder and, you know, I use all of these different, you know, anabolic steroids, and then I throw in this SARM and it gives me this, that, and the other. And I'm not saying that there isn't a quote unquote, you know, performance increase or benefit from some of these drugs. I'm saying that they destroy your biomarkers so much that the risk reward is not worth it. Now, obviously somebody may come to me and you, Nick, on this podcast and say, oh yeah, well, you're doing the same thing with this. And I will say to them, I get my lab work done 3 times a year. And I also know my body. I've been, you know, biohacking myself for about 27, 28 years now. And if I notice anything, I stop, right? And like, I've noticed nothing other than what you talked about, which is this increase in cardiovascular capacity. And the research out there shows that anything that is increased from a negative standpoint, and again, I would interpret, or, you know, that you could say it's not really negative. It's just, you know, an increase in, say, the size of the aortic valve, or, you know, what do they call it? Like the vasculature's increasing in size, they all go back to normal when you stop using this, right? So, I mean, again, and now after using it for 3 weeks, I don't notice any side effects other than my skin is drier. And again, that's a noticeable effect of a PPAR inhibitor as far as how, or I'm sorry, not inhibitor, an agonist, in that because they're increasing metabolic function and cellular increasing your cellular respiratory rate, you will have drier skin, right? So use more oil and lotion.
fairly simple. Yeah. I think it's an important caveat to note that pretty much everything we're going to discuss today is banned for use in sport because they confer huge advantages. So that caveat out of the way, how did you get involved in this journey of biohacking and therapeutic optimization?
Yeah, that's a great question and a great comment. Therapeutic optimization. I think I'm going to steal that. So I was always an athlete, in high school and college. I played basketball at Georgia Southwestern University, which at the time I was there was an NAIA school, became a Division II school about 3 or 4 years after I did. But we were highly competitive. In fact, we went to the Final Four in the NAIA 2 years in a row that I was there, which was played in Kemper Arena in Kansas City. And we had a very powerful NAIA team. So I played at a pretty high level, both college and then outside after I stopped playing. I played in like ultra competitive men's leagues. So in my 20s, I was always a student of enhancing performance. You know, I was like the guy that took Rip Fuel back in the day from Twin Lab. And, you know, for the show, for everybody on the record, you know, I'm 52 years old. I'm in my 53rd cycle around the sun. But it wasn't until I was 29 and I was playing in adult men's league basketball in Los Angeles at Crenshaw. I got kicked in the testicles and, you know, I went out, you know, came over, checked myself out. Somebody subbed in for me and, you know, probably came back in later in the game. But within the next 7 to 8 to 10 weeks, my body was destroyed. I started getting run down. I couldn't even play. My lower back was hurting. I mean, I was just like aches and pains. It was literally like I went from being in the best of condition and health and shape to being an old man that could barely move. So I went to a PPO doctor, and as I always say on all these podcasts when I talk about this story, there are no coincidences, only synchronicities in the universe. The guy referred me to an endocrinologist who happened to be a world-class Harvard-educated endocrinologist who measured my blood testosterone. Now, you got to remember, this is back in 1999, Nick, right? So it's like there were not a lot of people out there that were doing this stuff, but this guy had experience working with men who had what he would classify, or now the world classifies, as type 2 gonadal dysfunction, okay? Or hypogonadism is what they call it. And that's literally a decrease in testosterone and your HPTA function due to environmental reasons, right? So the environmental reason for me is I get kicked in the testicles really bad. So between that, you know, he said to me, look, I can put you on therapeutic tests. So he measured my labs and I came back and I had like a 220 total testosterone level and a really low free testosterone level. And he said, look, I can put you on therapeutic testosterone and I can have you right as rain in 8 to 10 weeks. But, you know, before you agree, go home, talk to your, at the time it was my fiance. We were getting married very soon after, and, you know, get her approval and let me know. And so I did. And, you know, my wife was like, a fiance at the time. She did become my wife for a very short time. Kelly, shout out to you. She said, you know, you're a smart guy, you know, whatever, you know, we don't have any kids. There's no risk or anything. Let's do it. So anyway, he did. He sent me the injections. I remember, you know, it was 3 shots. They were already planned out for me. He went to take me off after I went on. It was 8 to 10 weeks. I felt like, I felt like God. And, you know, he was like, okay, appointment come in. He's like, okay, I can withdraw you now. I'll put you on HCG. I'm like, whoa, bro, you're not taking like this is life changing. So then at that point, I literally spent the next 10 to 12 years of my life researching how to use therapeutic testosterone, how to use this agent, how to use that agent. I mean, there was nothing, unless you could read Russian and Bulgarian strength manuals, there was nothing anywhere. There was Nelson Virgil's book, which was Testosterone, a Man's Guide. Nelson and then Dr. Michael Mooney had also wrote another book. I forgot what it was called, but it was dealing with HIV, you know, which at the time was a death sentence. So all these guys were experimenting with anabolic steroids and testosterone and growth hormone and all these things. And I forget the name of that book, but there was nothing other than the underground, you know, bodybuilding, what I call bro boards, you know, in the early 2000s, where everybody had an anonymous handle. And was, you know, at the time it was in the infancy of the internet, and the information was pristine. There was no bull, there was no, you know, not of today where almost everything is flawed or false. So you were getting really good information. Everybody truly did desire to help one another. So, you know, between that and then reading everything I could get my hands on, and then of course using, being a human guinea pig, by the time I got to about 42 years old, 41 years old, you know, the people that were in my circle were literally like, bro, you know so much about this. You got to write a book, you know? And I was, you know, I was, well, a true story or a funny story, I think it's interesting, is that people would meet me and they would be obviously impressed with my physique and stuff. And they would ask me, they're like, you know, what do you do? And I would tell them, I saw I use therapeutic testosterone right to their face. And it would, I would either get like, wow, tell me more, or, ew, you're one of those dudes, you're on steroids, right? And so I was obviously very polarizing and alienated people. But for those that weren't, you know, they were like, you got to write a book. So eventually, a couple years later, I reached out to, I'd written a white paper on it. And I reached out to Rick Collins, who's now a very close personal friend, you know, who's the famous attorney for, you know, pro bodybuilding and professional sports and stuff like that, where he defends people that are accused of taking anabolic steroids. And I said, hey, look, for a person like me, who's a lay person, you know, I have no medical license or background. If I wrote a book on therapeutic testosterone, what would the risks be? And, you know, being an attorney, and he was very, very nice to me. He didn't know me from Adam, and I was a nobody at that point in time, but he was very professional. And he said, well, you know, the risks are this. And he told me that there was risks. And, you know, my wife and I at the time had owned a modestly successful residential real estate company in Southern California. And so I was like, oh, I'm backing out. But I also sent the white paper to Nelson Virgil, who wrote Testosterone's a Man Guide, and not Bill Phillips, but Bill, I forgot the other guy's name, Bill, whatever his name is. His name's not coming to my head anymore. And then I just literally, you know, shelved it. About four or five months later, I don't remember, but I get an email in the middle of the night from Nelson Virgil, and he was in his native country of Venezuela. And he was like, I don't know who you are, but this is profound, amazing stuff. You got to write this book. And so I messaged him back and I was like, well, you know, Rick Collins, he's like, F Rick Collins. Rick's a good friend of mine too, but he's just being an attorney. He's like, I work on panels at the FDA. Men need to know this. So he said, well, how can we talk? How can I help you? So as I always say, man, Nelson, love you, bro. He's, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants. He helped me, he coached me. And about a year later, the book came out. It should have come out in 14, but it came out in 2015. And that was the first book, the TRT, the definitive TRT manual. And then subsequently, to fast forward, you know, a long story to now, I've written five other books, actually six other books, and met amazing people like you, doctors. I've, you know, lectured, I've, you know, traveled the world. I've met all sorts of great people. And now I'm kind of, you know, blessed to be in this like position of this like, you know, advanced biohacker who writes books about peptides. And as you were saying, the next book, which we'll talk about, is coming, is 30 Days to Shreds.
Yeah, this will definitely be live after that. But that is exciting. And I like that you're saying that there's something for all levels there, because it's so tempting just to say, these are the top molecules that help me get there super fast, shortcut all the work. But as we both know, it's those are like the proverbial icing on the cake. Those like just amplify your results, make it faster, easier, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're not doing the low-hanging fruit right, then you're going to have a hard time, and you might just cause more issues than good if you're trying to layer on these advanced therapeutics on top of a faulty, shaky foundation.
Yeah, 100%. And I will definitely say, you know, we can get deeper into this. The book is an anecdotal research study with my insider VIP group that I formulated last year. It's 9 guys. I had 3 women in it, and they all dropped out. Some of them actually still work kind of remotely, but it's 9 men who have had the most profound transformations that you could even imagine. And when I say that, you know, it doesn't even ring hollow until you see their pictures. Because when you see their pictures, you're going to be like, there's no way that happened in 30 days. And I'm like, well, read the book. Here's the dates. Here's the imagery. Here's the documentation. Here's what they did. I mean, some of the pictures are just like, people are going to be blown away. But again, to go back to reiterate what you just said, and you know this as well as I do, we didn't have 5 years ago GLP-1 agonists. You know, we didn't have select peptide GH agonists. We didn't have tesofensine. We didn't have some of these agents that can radically alter and modulate body composition. And so, you know, when you have somebody like me who, you know, has been in the fat loss game as long as I have and has done, you know, every potential diet that's out there, and then you take these advanced, you know, call them peptide based or gray market agents that can enhance, you know, metabolism and basic metabolic rate and, you know, increase brown adipose tissue and do all of these different things, then you can essentially create like a Frankenstein from a person who was, let's say, 35% body fat and 65 to 75 pounds overweight, and literally in 30 days have them lose all that body fat. Now that sounds gimmicky and fad, but I can prove that it's not. And again, you have to be focused, right? Because it's not something like where you just sit there and, you know, you don't have to put in the work. But I mean, if you're willing to put in the work and you are able to get these agents and use them, you know, within the constraints and obviously instructions that we provide in the book, dude, there's nobody, regardless of your genetics, regardless of your, you know, previous condition or starting condition, you can't dramatically alter your body fat.
Sweet. We will dig into that after. But first, I want to talk about peptides a bit. And I know that's one of your specialties you're well known for. And your book on peptides, Optimizing Your Health with Therapeutic Peptides, was awesome. Can you give us a brief definition of peptides? And then also we'll talk about some of the ones that you find most fascinating. And I'll interject with my own experiences.
Peptides, in my opinion, are essentially biomolecule fractionated proteins, right? So essentially they're just, you know, amino acids that are organically, not all of them, some of them are synthesized, but organically found in nature, in our cells, you know, in our biological system pathways that when used, you know, for therapeutic purposes can fundamentally treat or you know, seek out the root cause of whatever it is the issue, right? So, you know, I always use the healing modality peptides like BPC-157 and TB-500. And again, for me and you and people probably that listen to your show, you know, this isn't anything that's astounding, but to normal people, bro, when they see what these things are capable of doing, I mean, it doesn't compute, right? And I'll give you a story of, like, again, normal people. So this happened in September of last year. I was in a mastermind in the Utah mountains with some very accomplished internet marketing people, very, very well-to-do guys. And we were 100 miles away from civilization. There was nothing, right? And one of the dudes was doing battle ropes. And dude, he tore his hand from here to here. I mean, it was a gash. It probably needed somewhere between 12 and 20 stitches.
His entire palm?
You what? Say it again.
His entire palm?
The whole thing. I mean, it was gnarly. I mean, it was a solid half inch in. And, you know, it was like, well, what are we going to do? We're going to drive down the road and, you know, take him to the hospital? Or are we going to, like, you know, be strong, tough guys? And there were a bunch of women there too and, like, figure this out. And so I literally carry my insulin cooler pack with me wherever I travel around the world. I carry BPC-157, TB-500, you know, growth hormone, peptides, and thymosin alpha-1 and other stuff. But, you know, one of the other guys who was there with me was also a peptides guy like me. And I'm like, dude, let's inject him. And he's like, well, how are we going to get him to do it? And I'm like, you're just going to hold his hand and I'm going to, like, talk to him and we'll nail him. Right. So dude, this is a true story. So I ran over to get it. I mean, he was, like, you know, not crying or anything, but I mean, you know, they had bandaged him up and it was gnarly, dude. I mean, he needed a bunch of stitches. And as you know, too, like when you get that deep of a wound, if you don't have it addressed, there's always a chance of infection, right? You don't want to get sepsis. So anyway, I ran back to the house because there was about four or five houses that were all staying together and stuff. There was like 30 people at this mastermind. And I came back and this guy had no idea what peptides were, bro. Like, he was like seeing me and, you know, the other guy, and he's holding him and I'm talking to him and he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you? Like, bro, trust us. We're going to save you. We're going to solve your problem. So true story, injected him once. At that point, this is on Thursday in the afternoon, injected him again that night. Now this is like, you know, he had to close his eyes and, like, turn away and, like, you know, and we're injecting on the outside. And it's BPC-157, TB-500 together, because I always have them together in a vial. Dude, on Monday, I wish I wasn't smart enough. You know how things, you know, you do these things and then you never take a picture. But dude, it was the most insane transformation that you could ever imagine. It was literally like Wolverine from X-Men. His gash had completely closed by Monday. Closed. I mean, not stitched and sutured, but naturally closed from the action of the angiogenic action of the BPC-157 and the inflammation and cytokine suppression of the TB-500. And so, dude, when this guy saw this on Monday, he thought I was Merlin the Magician. I mean, literally, he was literally like, you've been elevated to a different world. Like, I don't even know who you are, how you did this, but this is the most profound thing I've ever seen in my life. So I tell you that story for the listening audience, because that's really what peptides offer in so many different ways, right? And, you know, you and I can geek out and we can go much deeper, but there's probably 1,000 peptides right now that we're still not even experimenting with, right? And it's because they can't be synthesized, or, you know, the research chemical companies that can do it won't because of the cost prohibitive nature of it, or, you know, the micron level of it or whatever, it can't really be injected and they can't figure out how to get it, you know, to cross the blood-brain barrier. So there's a million different things that are out there that we don't even know about right now. And obviously, as you know, the book, I think I only have like 50 peptides or 52 peptides even covered in it. And I only used the ones I thought were the most relevant because, you know, human beings only have access to a select amount. But every one of them, from cognition stimulation for fat loss to muscle gain to healing to longevity, you know, to enhancing telomerase and improving telomerase function. I mean, dude, they're just the most insane things ever. And so, like, when I tell people I've been using peptides since 2004, because that's a true story, I started using Ipamorelin back then, people are like, what? Like, most doctors didn't even know what a peptide was until like 2016 or 2017, right? But because I was, again, in that underground, you know, bro, performance enhancing, bodybuilding community, whatever you want to call it, those guys are the ultimate guinea pigs, you know, and they were the ones that were willing to experiment. And, you know, again, I'm very open about the story. Southern Research Company was probably the first company that I know of, at least in the United States, at least in the West, that was, you know, openly selling peptides, you know, online in the back of bodybuilding magazines, if you knew where to go, you know, again, on the Usenet forum groups, because the internet was obviously not the internet as of now, but you could literally buy them. And, you know, I don't know what happened to them. I just know that they were literally the back office of a compound pharmacy in Texas. And they were selling out the back. And honestly, bro, like, I tell people this all the time, like, the Ipamorelin that they were selling is 100 times quality of the Ipamorelin that's found in the marketplace today. And again, if you know anything about the drug world, industry, culture, oh, better. So everything, the way the drug industry works is when drug first comes out, peptide, big pharma branded, whatever, it's pure. It's the highest quality you could ever get, right? And then as time goes on and people find out about it, the peptides and the drugs and everything else just gets lower quality. Now, I don't know the reason for that, but my assumption is that, again, you're diluting because there's a profit incentive, right? You don't have the same materials. You don't have the same way to manufacture the peptide that you once did. There's so many loopholes that have to be accounted for. And so, I mean, it's the truth, man. Like, the peptide, when I was using Ipamorelin back then, the Ipamorelin effects are nowhere near the effects of using Ipamorelin today. And I know it sounds weird and people are like, well, how is that possible, bro? And I'm like, I don't really know. I just know how it worked then. You know, and some people will be like, no, bro, it's you were just younger and your biological systems responded better to it. No, I don't see that. I mean, I just don't see the same effects. And again, I've been, you know, giving Ipamorelin to my wife since we first met back in 2012. And it's not the same. So, I mean, again, I just like to say that at the very beginning, when drugs are found in the marketplace, it seems like they're more pure. And then over time, people degrade them again through marketing, through profit margins, you know, through manufacturing processes. There's a lot of ways to not get the same quality.
There's also the competition on price at that point. Once everyone's synthesizing it, that it's like you need an advantage. So you're going to try and produce it a little cheaper. And by doing that, you have to sacrifice somewhere. Otherwise, it wouldn't be cheaper.
And look, you can do that now. If you tested, and I won't give names, but if you pulled up, say, 3 or 4 of the biggest research chemical companies, and you and I know who they are, and so does your listening audience, and you tested each one's Ipamorelin, Tesamorelin, you know, CJC, whatever, every single one of them, there would be a variance in the quality, the efficacy, the purity, you know what I mean? So it's like, of course, there are loopholes due, like you said, due to processing and profit margin. And again, there's no regulation. Again, obviously, I'm talking about research chemical companies. And you know what? When I say that, I got to be honest, there's no regulation of the compounders either. There's nobody doing testing of the compounders to prove that, you know, what they say on their bottle is 99% or 98.9% of label claims. There's nobody. And that's the one reason that I support Limitless Life Nootropics, because he's the only peptide research chemical company, at least that I know of on planet Earth right now, that does third-party testing and verifies it with that independent third-party test. You know, and again, I know who the third party is testing them, and they're not paying anybody off or bribing anybody. It costs a lot of money, you know, to have that done. But I mean, at this point, dude, like, you can't verify anything unless somebody is doing an independent verification process, again, from a third-party test or tester. And Limitless is the only company in the entire research chemical industry. And again, when people ask me, they're like, well, what about compound pharmacies? And I'm like, I would actually have to say that amongst them, it's the same thing, because I don't know anybody in the compound world that's testing their peptides and then offering that validity to the public.
That's a good point. And I know that there's a certain major company that a lot of doctors rely on as a research chemical company. And even then, you'd think that because doctors rely on them, the prices are higher, they're very well known, that that would be an indicator of higher quality. But I believe that it was either you or someone else has done third party, actually tested their peptides and different products and found out that they were abysmal.
Abysmal. Yeah. And we don't have to mention the name, but I mean, I think people are pretty smart to figure it out, because they definitely have the best marketing and they've been around a long time and they do make a lot of money. And the branding is great and stuff. But yeah. And that's what I'm saying is, like, you know, you just have to do your homework. And look, man, we could go as deep as you want on peptides. You know, at the end of the day, people also have to learn how to use peptides by buying them and self-experimenting. There's no amount of you and me teaching people how to reconstitute, you know, how to use a peptide conversion table or a peptide calculator, or, you know, any of that stuff is going to replace getting an actual vial, whether it's 2, 5, 10, 20 milligrams, and doing the work, you know, putting the reconstitution solution / bacterial static water in the vial and then pulling out the syringes and experimenting on yourself. And like you and I were talking off air, it takes years to truly understand how to use these things. You know, it's not plug and play. You don't watch you and me in a podcast or buy my course or buy the book and think that that's going to teach you. You have to learn and you have to invest in the time and money to actually understand how to do this stuff.
So here's the thing. There's certain peptides that are more forgiving. And if you say accidentally 10 times the dose, you'll be okay. And others where you might get violently ill if you do that. So do you have any suggestions if people are interested in starting out? I know that you've already mentioned a couple that seem to come up as like the most common, being the TB500 or TB4, and then also BPC-157. Those are like the two most common. Then there's a bunch of others that are also powerful, and we can talk about those briefly too. But if someone's just getting started, where do you recommend they begin?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And honestly, it really just comes down to your goal, right? I mean, most people who get into peptides have weight loss issues or body fat issues, right? I mean, that's, you know, I think you and I were talking before, I think it's 80%. So the last statistic that I saw, this is insane, by the way, Nick, but the last statistic that I saw is that 78% of adults over the age of 40 in the United States are obese. So you're basically dealing with 80% of the adult population over the age of 40 is obese. And that's according to the BMI, which, by the way, the BMI is a joke at this point. Yeah, it's absolutely a joke. I mean, you know, even DEXA is a joke. So let's talk about this just because it's important. So because the standard mean deviation of the algorithm that all of these companies use to determine body composition is the average is obese, muscular people and lean people fall outside of the standard mean deviation. So you cannot, as an athlete, as a biohacker, as a peptide user, as somebody who's like, you know, trying to live their longest and stronger, you cannot rely on any of that data. It's all flawed. The error margin now is 7%, right? So when I was at A4M, the big anti-aging conference in December in Las Vegas, which I attend every year, you know, I go to all those booths that measure body composition, and I'm talking to those guys at Sika and InBody and DEXA, and they're all like, hey man, all we can go by is the average person and the math and the algorithm they create. And now because obesity is so rampant, we have a 7% error margin. So, I mean, like, who's going to rely on that? That's a sham, right? So the only way that you can actually get your body composition accurate now is through a BOD pod, or to have somebody, you know, do a 7 or 9 or 11 site, you know, skin caliper with a, you know, a Scandex, you know, metal type caliper. And then also that person has to understand how to do it, you know, because a lot of people don't know how to perform body fat measurement. That's an old school technique. But we have so many people who are fat, right? So the average person wants to use peptides for fat loss. So there are probably, you know, again, and these are all covered in my book, but they're the four or five biggest growth hormone agonist peptides or mitochondrial stimulating peptides, again, to enhance BMR and cellular respiration would be Ipamorelin, CJC 1295, MOTC, 5-amino-1MQ, and Tesamorelin. Now, Tesamorelin is almost impossible to get because it is a quote unquote controlled, FDA regulated, and approved peptide known as Egrifta, which is used in, again, the muscle wasting and HIV communities for guys that have a condition called lipodystrophy. And lipodystrophy is like very hard, visceral body fat in the center mass. So again, guys get like this really hard belly fat that they can't get rid of. And so Tesamorelin was used to break up that belly fat. So for men who have belly fat, it's a very potent peptide in reducing the fat in the midsection. Now, again, it's almost impossible to get, and it's so expensive. It's literally like $4,400 a month if you had a script for it to take it 2 milligrams a day, which again, all of these dosages are in the book that you mentioned already. And you can put this in the podcast, but you know, people will be able to get the first two chapters and of course the introduction of the book for free and stuff like that. I'll give the link out at the end of this. But the other peptides are Ipamorelin, which, you know, I'm a big proponent of Ipamorelin. It's the only peptide in the clinical research to show that it does not disturb the body's endogenous production, of course, from the pituitary of its natural cascade of growth hormone. So you can also take it, you know, two or three times a day if you're that anal retentive and you want to inject yourself, but it will definitely increase your body's natural production of growth hormone, and it will not shut down your body's, you know, natural production, and it will also not concomitantly increase prolactin or cortisol. So a very, very strong peptide to use for a life, you know, over the course of your life to, you know, enhance a lot of the good things that growth hormone can do without any of the bad things. CJC 1295, I'm not a supporter of this peptide because it does the opposite of what IPA does. It does increase prolactin and cortisol, or can, depending on the dosage. It is, however, a very, very potent growth hormone releasing agonist. And so a lot of peptide research chemical companies and, of course, compounding pharmacies often combine CJC and IPA together, which produces a much stronger growth hormone agonistic effect than them in isolation. But I don't like it, Nick, because when you inject it, most people get a flushing kind of nausea. You know, they get itchy or red, or they just feel flushed from it, you know. And again, it's because it's such a pronounced effect. And then when you combine it all the time, and you see this all the time with Ipamorelin, it also throws off the dose curve. So most people don't know how to dose it, right? Because it'll be like 12 milligrams of CJC and 6 milligrams of IPA, you know. Or I've seen it actually where it's 10 milligrams of IPA and 8 milligrams of CJC. I mean, I've seen all these crazy dosing parameters. And so that throws people off. So I don't really like those together, but for sure, if you're trying to increase growth hormone in an older adult man or woman, it's a very strong and potent agent in doing that. So MOTC is a very profound mitochondrial stimulator or upregulator. I don't like MOTC though for practical purposes because it's so expensive, and to dose it appropriately, you got to almost use a whole vial every time you dose. So it can get really, really cost prohibitive. Now, if you're obese and money is not an object, it's a very profound peptide to, again, increase BMR and obviously cellular metabolic rate because it's enhancing and upregulating your mitochondria. I don't also like it very much for people who are already mitochondrial optimized, which is naturally muscular and leaner people, because you're not going to get the same effect. Again, this is theoretically. I mean, I definitely do know some people that use MOTC who are in great shape, and they say they love it because they feel the increased energy, which is, you know, definitely you would notice that effect again too, to its mitochondrial upregulation. But for fat loss, I personally, you know, in my observation and then also working with people, I see better fat loss in heavier people using MOTC than people who are more mitochondrial upregulated or optimized. 5-amino-1-MQ is an amazing oral peptide for the most part. It can be injected too, but it's not as effective than when you take it orally. But it works for everyone, regardless of body composition level. The issue with 5-amino-1-MQ is that you also build up antibodies really fast using it. So unfortunately, you really only get like the effects of it for 4, perhaps if you're lucky, 6 weeks before it just downregulates and it just doesn't become as effective. So I always tell people, like, if you're going to use 5-amino, your cycle should be in your mind 4 weeks, right? And the dosage for that is pretty universal depending on your body size. Like if you're a smaller woman, you can probably get away with 100 milligrams. But if you're a bigger guy, you need 150 milligrams, which is usually, you know, depending on where you get it, you know, 3 capsules. You know, taken first thing in the morning. So those are the primary fat loss peptides.
I think if you're going to have a goal like fat loss, you can take a multi-pronged approach and maybe stack 2, like one for growth hormone upregulation and then one for energy. I didn't tell you this, but I used Motsi this morning. I'm on a 4-week cycle. And that is one of the trickier peptides I've used because you have to reconstitute and use an entire vial all in one syringe. So it's pretty crazy. And
they're like, what, dude, wait a minute. It's exactly right. And do you know how many people have messaged me in the last 2 years saying, I don't get this. You mean I have to use this entire vial? I'm like, yeah, what don't you get?
Yeah. And it does. That's what I was going to say. The peptides can get expensive, especially Motsi is one of the ones I was like, wow, this is pricey. I do notice a pretty strong energy increasing effect. And because of the increased energy, I can work out harder, work out longer. I have more motivation to do that kind of stuff. So I'd say there's some indirect fat loss, but is that going to be as effective as some of the other things, such as tesmorelin? Probably not. But at the same time, it's more affordable than that. But there's probably other peptides that are better for my specific goals.
So I have the exact same effect. The first time that I injected Motsi, and this was back in 2018 when TaylorMade was, you know, sending me peptides. And I literally, they didn't even know what the dosing parameters or protocol was. It was like experimental. Well, you know, so I'm like, you know, you could do this. And I only took half a vial of it, but it was a 12 milligram vial. And I took half, and dude, I took it. I remember I was on the phone with Ryan Smith and I'm like, okay, what do you want? And he's like, oh, you know, just take half a bottle. I was on the phone with him when I injected it. I'm not kidding you. It increased my energy so much. I was laying in bed that night, staring at the ceiling, attempting to go to sleep. And I was like, I'm not going to sleep. And I probably slept 2 hours that night. So there's no question that Motsi is a profound energy enhancer. And again, like I said, and this is just my pet theory, but the more mitochondrial optimized you are, the less you're going to get a quote unquote from a body fat reduction standpoint, but you will definitely notice the increased energy.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And then there's a couple others, and I'm curious your take. You don't need to give as long explanations because we're running low on time already. And that is one copper peptide, GHKCU. And then also I'm interested in your take on the, the melanocortin peptides.
Yeah, for sure. M1 and M2. Yeah. So copper peptide GHKCU is a profound peptide. We call it the ShamWow peptide, you know, kind of like in my clinical circles, in that it has so many different effects that it exerts. I mean, it's obviously a very powerful angiogenic peptide. It's the strongest transdermal peptide. So all of the quote unquote smart, you know, skincare companies out there use copper peptide GHKCU in their formulations. Most of them do not use it in the percentage that they need to really truly get the effects. My company, which again, we sold last year in March of 2022, which was Asir Custom, you know, probably had the strongest GHKCU cream and serum in the marketplace. It was a 3% grade, which is technically still below clinical grade effectiveness. And so we were able to sell it over the counter. But anybody who used it had profound improvement to their skin quality and their face, especially aging women, fine lines and wrinkles, melasma, all of those things, it dramatically improves. But you can also inject it. And like I said, it's also, it's a very powerful angiogenic, which means increasing red blood cell and tissue flow or formation to the area. So like when you inject it, let's say into the scalp, it will improve hair regrowth, right? So I have to say this, you know, the caveat, Some people who inject copper peptide GHKCU notice a massive burning. Some people who inject it notice nothing. So again, it's all genetic, you know, equalization here. Everybody's N of one and biochemically unique. So some people notice the burning and some people don't notice it. But it's a very, very profound angiogenic peptide. So again, you can use it for a lot of different things. But most people use copper peptide GHKCU in a transdermal formulation to enhance cell growth. You know, our hair product, which we now have, I'm not part of the company, but I am the master affiliate. And Terra, which is my ex-business partner, Nick Andrews, with a Seer, his new company, he has a product called Folitin, which I'm now using in my scalp, which is absolutely the number one, in my opinion, hair regrowth peptide-based product on the planet. It is in the process of being patented, but it's got four different peptides listed in the ingredients. And dude, it's way stronger than our previous product, which was called Oxano before we sold to Seer. And again, that's to me where the real wheelhouse is for copper peptide GHKCU in topical formulation. So whether you put it on the skin or in the hair, it works profoundly. And then the other questions you asked me were the melanin cortoid receptor complex peptides, which is melanotan 1, melanotan 2, and even PT-141. So I hate melanotan 2, not because it doesn't work, but because there are risks in using it. There's no question. And again, you know, we've written articles about this on jcampbell.com and people can go read those articles for free, but it does increase strengthen or enhance the formation of dark moles on people's backs and shoulders, which doesn't mean that you're creating a cancerous lesion, but it can potentially become one. So you have to be careful. And again, that's always relevant to that person's melanin levels in their skin. I will say this, and we now know this for a fact, like someone like me, right? Like, so I use melanotan 1. Now I live right now in Playa del Carmen, you know, essentially in the tropic zone. So I'm in the sun almost every single day. Dude, I am a Campbell, Scottish, Irish, you know, I've got some German, I've got Northern European ancestry. I was a white boy, upper Midwestern corn fed white boy 25 years ago before I started using M1, and I was not this dark. So M1 has absolutely, in my opinion, permanently darkened the melanin content of my skin, which has actually insulated me from you know, any kind of quote unquote sun issues, right? Because if I was getting this much sun as I am now before having melanin 1 or melanotan 1 introduced into me, I'd probably have all sorts of skin issues, maybe sunburn, skin, mild skin cancers, who knows, lesions, whatever. So there's definitely an effect of using these products that will enhance and darken the melanin from both. But back to melanotan 2, it also produces an orangish brown skin coloring, which for competitive bodybuilders or fitness models or bikini competitors, you know, it's great, right? Because they want to be really dark when they're on stage. But for normal everyday people who want to just look better and get a darker tan, it looks really weird. You know, I like to say sometimes, like, you look literally like an Oompa Loompa. You know, you've got like that orange brown skin color. You're like, what the hell? So between that, its ability to increase mole formation or darken moles, the other thing that it also can do for a lot of people, and I'm one of them, is it increases the feeling of nausea. So if you inject a little bit too much, you can literally get that dry heaving, like, oh my God, like I feel like I'm going to vomit, but nothing comes up effect. And a lot of people notice that. Same thing with PT-141. So PT-141 is quote unquote a sexual enhancement from a functioning standpoint peptide, in that it can increase the strength and the term or the time of an erection. So again, it's increasing increasing blood flow, you know, to the organs, the penis. And it also works in women too. It does the same thing and increases blood flow to the clitoris. Here's the thing with that peptide. There's a massive audience of people who are non-responders. I'm one of them. True story, when I first started using PT-141 or attempted to use it back in like 2008, 2009, bro, it never worked. And I would accuse the guy that I was buying it from of scamming me. But back then we didn't know. And now obviously we know, you know, there's much more science out there. By the way, PT-141 is also an FDA approved peptide. It's called afroblaminotide and it's very expensive. I remember back in the day where you could literally buy melanotan 1. Actually, I just misspoke. Afrobelamnitide is melanotan 1. And it's now a FDA-approved peptide. Dude, I used to be able to buy it for $10 a vial. 10 milligram, $10 a vial way back in the day. And now it's like 10 milligrams clinically is like $700 with a script. So it's like a total joke. But there's some profound, and again, I've obviously written about this, profound consciousness enhancing effects with melanotan 1. But bottom line, dude, is if you use melanotan 1 and you use it at a clinically precise dose, you will darken your skin color. You will maximize your natural, your body's natural ability to be exposed to sun. So you'll never get, you know, orange. You will never look retarded. You'll have like my shape, right? Like this is probably as dark as I most likely can get. And again, I just came from Tulum, Mexico in the last 2 days. I was in the sun. And then again, it enhances consciousness. And again, I write about this in both the TOT Bible and also the article that's on jcampbell.com. If you're a meditator and you know, you're an introspector, you're someone that gets into mind silence or stillness, it will definitely enhance your ability to do that. And then also while you're in that, you know, alpha brainwave state of consciousness, you can stay there longer too.
That's very interesting. And I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but in the book called Regenerate, Sayer G talks about how he believes that melanin was one of the core differentiators that allowed humans to become spiritual and to attain our current status and to become as successful as we are.
So I'm going to take you one deeper. So yes, I'm familiar with him and his work. So I theorize that the reason that Black people were, you know, subjugated, oppressed, made into slaves, done away with their entire African culture, if you think about it, is because they have the strongest melanin receptor cortoid complexes in their body. That's why their skin is the way they are. And they have the most spiritual power. So if you understand that, then it would make sense that the quote unquote, you know, whoever the enemy is on this planet, we could go into that if you really wanted to. Let's just call it the parasitic energy force. They have gone after the quote unquote dark, melanismatic peoples, you know, whether they're Black, African, Negroid, whatever you want to call them, forever, dude, because they hold the key. Now, obviously, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to start looking at like the skills and the capabilities of, you know, professional Black athletes, entertainers. I mean, they have unbelievable power as artists, you know, as creators, as athletes. So it's like, it stands to reason that they went after that group because, again, they have this connection to quote unquote source. You know what I mean? And so it's like, if you want to like suppress an entire culture forever, like that's the one. I mean, look, I mean, just look at Africa. Look what has been done to Africa over the last thousands, maybe millions of years. We don't know. All the timelines are stolen from us. Everything is BS. But it's like, all you have to do is look at that. I mean, dude, I have 5 books. It's so funny we're talking about this right now. I have 5 books about melanin. And you can do this right now. You can literally go on Amazon and you can search melanin on Amazon, melanin and books on Amazon, and look what comes up. Some of the most profound stuff. Now, some people will say woo-woo, but it's not woo-woo if you drill down deeper and go more granular and you start reading what these people are saying. So he's right. And like I would say that it goes way deeper. This is a gigantic suppression, you know, quote unquote event in human history of suppressing human consciousness. And again, the quote unquote Black, dark, Negroid, you know, call them indigenous races, this is what has been going on since the beginning, suppressing that. And those people were clearly the ones that were most connected from a spiritual standpoint to quote unquote to source creation, to God, whatever you want to call it. But there's absolutely no doubt about it, bro.
And then to wrap a bow on this topic, so you mentioned that melanotan 1 is powerful for consciousness. Would PT-141 and then melanotan 2, because melanotan 1 is very difficult to find, and in most places you have to be a researcher to get your hands on it. I think Limitless now, or at least they have offered it.
Well, yeah, they're going to have it pretty soon. And yeah, if you're in the VIP club, which, you know, now you can go to their website. By the way, it's so funny we're doing this today because their new website literally launched about 2 hours ago, which took a long time to get built. But yeah, so I mean, people can get access to their VIP buyers club, but the VIP buyers club We'll have melanotan one pretty soon. But yeah, it's very difficult to get it. You can buy it from Peptide Sciences, and I don't think that product is bad. From talking to people that use it, I don't know if I trust all of their products, but I mean, again, some people are going to say some companies' peptides are better than other companies' peptides, but it's not something that's very difficult to manufacture. Again, although, Big Pharma decided that they wanted to control its production and distribution of it, but it is an amazing peptide, and it's definitely in my top five peptides to use and to explore. And again, if you're someone who meditates or, really goes into stillness and does that, like, it's absolutely a must have.
Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, I have still another vial of MT2, melanotan 2 here, and I can confirm that it does give me like a redder color than I would like, but it's better than burning for now until I can get my hands.
If you don't get a nauseous reaction to it, which I do, which I cannot use it at all, and you are okay as far as like you don't have a lot of dark moles or growths on your body, melanotan 2 is fine, but just use a very moderate dose, because if you use a too high of a dose, you will turn orange, and it's totally unnatural. But just be careful. And again, for me, I just tell people melanotan 1 is much better if you can get it, but like you said, it is harder to get it. So, it's kind of one of those like happy mediums of like, if you can get melanotan 1, use it, but if you can't, just use a very, very, very low dose of melanotan 2 and proceed cautiously.
Yeah, that's what I do. But do I still get some of the same spiritual benefits, the same?
That's a good question. I mean, theoretically you should, but in practicality, I don't see it, and also talking to people, I don't feel that it's there. And I think probably that's why Big Pharma controls melanotan 1, because they know that that effect is out there. And again, what do they want? They want suppressed consciousness. That's what how the Matrix wins, right? They don't want people all waking up all across the world, because if that would happen, then we wouldn't have a Matrix.
Yeah. Okay. So rattle off really quickly before we move on your top 7 peptides at this moment.
Okay. So in this moment, for sure, terzapatide. Tesofensine is a small molecule. It's really not a peptide, but everybody classifies it as a peptide. So those two, 1-2 for sure. Ipamorelin, of course, the healing peptides, BPC, TB500. Thymosin alpha-1, love thymosin alpha-1. I mean, I don't leave anywhere without that. And then if I'm going to pick a growth hormone agonist, now I use, and I'm happy to discuss this, I use Genotropin growth hormone. One I use Monday through Friday now, because I'm an older guy, and it's much, much more beneficial than just using a peptide GH agonist. But if I was going to pick one, it would be between Tessa and IPA. And I would definitely say of that class of 7, IPA is best for women for like lifelong usage, because it also increases polyphasic sleep. It really improves deep restorative sleep for women.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.